Stay down, came up, God made a way.
Welcome back to Revolution. This is your host X, and with me, we are missing Flex. Unfortunately, Flex couldn't join us for this episode, but hopefully he'll be back. And if not, well, you'll just have to put up with me. With me today, we have a special guest. Before I introduce him, though, I just want to remind myself that we are recording on October 28th, 2023. I think the intro and outro music, I'm going to switch it up for the rest of the year. So, we've had music from my friend A Floaty and from Lovely World, but I think I'm going to switch it up and probably use music from like A3 or What Up RG. He's about to play in Atlanta in a few weeks. So that's kind of what I've been on, and I'll share that with you guys. With us, we have a special guest. His name is Enzo. Welcome, Enzo.
Hey, what's up?
Let's start with some basics. How old are you?
So, I am 27.
Where do you find yourself in your career at the moment?
That's a good question. So, when you mean like career, do you mean like long term,
or like you graduated college,
correct,
and whatnot, and you went on to do work.
So I'm at a, I would say I'm like, I wouldn't call myself a beginner anymore. I'm at a good spot where I finally have 5 years under my belt that I'm kind of comfortable doing what I am, you know, what I do for a living. But it's also a little bit of a gray area because I'm also comfortable. So if I don't pursue to do more, I can just fall in the trap of just doing enough to get by. So I'm kind of, I need to push myself a little bit more right now to achieve more and get a little bit more advanced in my career. But I feel like I know what I'm doing.
What's kind of like your short-term goal? Maybe 5 years.
Probably find myself in a company that I want to stay in long enough for me to be completely invested. Mm-hmm. Right now, since I'm still under 30, I feel like I can kind of bounce around, see what I like, what I don't like.
So what are like some of the things that you have done? You were at a Niagara?
Yep, Niagara Bottling. So I was a travel engineer for them for about a year and a half. I worked for another firm called SDS, which I did engineering work for probably six different major corporations. So contract work, and currently I work for Hubble Lighting.
Mm-hmm. What do you do there?
I'm a product engineer, so I develop new products, specifically lighting. So light fixtures that go in hospitals, jails, operation rooms, and job sites.
Why did you bounce around? Because it seems like you've not stayed at one company for too long. Like, what is it that attracts you to other companies, or why do you end up leaving?
I don't want this to sound selfish, but the first thing is money. Yeah. You know, if you have the opportunity to leave to make $20,000 more at a different job, yeah, I would say do it. You have no reason not to. And then I just didn't like the constant traveling in Niagara. Every week I was somewhere new. I could have been in California 1 week or in London the next week, which sounds nice, but once you get in a relationship, it's kind of hard.
How many countries have you been to?
Probably six or seven.
Yeah, what are some of those?
I've been to Mexico, United States, Canada. Went to Greece. I've been to Turkey. Been in Germany, and
the UK, right?
UK, yep.
Yeah.
I guess what is that called? England, or
I don't know. That's embarrassing because it's like UK, and then like London's a city, and then you have Great Britain, which is like,
so it's England, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What company did you stay at the longest? Was it Niagara, or where you're at currently?
Where I'm at currently, I would say that's probably about to be 3 years with them.
So besides that, you also have like your side company.
Correct. So,
or is that your like your company?
Yeah, it's my company.
And that's like doing like landscaping?
Mainly.
Or is it just?
So that's it's kind of funny. So it started off as, I guess, landscaping, and then I kind of played around with my business model, and it's more of like a middleman now, like wholesale distribution for the supplies for supplies. Landscaping. So nice. I realized how I love landscaping, but I didn't have the time. So if I could cut down a little bit of profits, but save so much more time just by being the middleman, why not?
I think you kind of did this for a little bit, but did you not find like managing that kind of thing? Like, is it hard to like depend on people to do the jobs correctly or like?
No.
I mean, eventually you get to a point where you don't want to, like you can do all of those things. You can have the landscaping, have the supply distribution and whatnot, but like kind of be over all of it. But I mean, if that doesn't work for you, I can't like force you to do it.
Yeah, you know? No, I get that. And I've tried that. But it's mainly A, finding somebody, mm-hmm. B, how much do you want to give up of your profit margins? You know, you have someone there, you have to start paying them. And believe it or not, it's kind of hard to like find help. And the hourly rate, you know, if I was one of them, you know, if I'm paying somebody, let's just say $10 an hour, you can go work at Chick-fil-A and make 15.
Right. So who would work for you?
Yeah, exactly. Who would work in the sun and get paid less?
Dang. So right now, do you have employees?
I wouldn't say I have full-time employees. I have people that like to make money on the side. And if they're free weekend, they'll come help. And I'm also not 100% consistent with it because I do it more of like, if I want to, I'll do it. I don't do it as a, like I need to do it as a living. So.
I notice that you run every morning.
Yes.
Is that every morning?
At least 3 times a week.
Oh, okay. I thought it was every day, and I was like, man, this dude's on it.
No, it's at minimum 3 times a week, but I also lift. Right. So I try to find that right balance. But
How many times do you lift?
Minimum 5 hours. So an hour a day, 5 times.
Yeah.
5 times a week.
Why did you start doing that?
Why did I start doing that?
Or what does it like do for you?
Mainly it's the mental clarity in the morning. It started off as, okay, my coworkers were doing it. They would invite me every now and then. And then we would go at 5 in the morning. And I kind of fell in love with, you get done running. And believe it or not, there's such a thing as runner's high.
Right.
I would get this sense of just happiness as I see the sunrise coming up. And where I'm from, there's a lot of nice running trails. And there's one spot where you have a waterfall coming down, and just picture this. You just got done running 5 miles, and you sit down at the waterfall. You hear the water. You see the sun coming up, and it's just, it gets me in the right mindset for the rest of my day.
Yeah. Do you normally run that trail, or is it you switch it up?
I do that same trail every single time.
Every time?
I love that trail.
Yeah.
And it's mainly because if I'm going that early in the morning, I know my routes. You know, I go before the sun's even up, so I know it's safe. I know where to go in case something happens, because believe it or not, I've been attacked by a dog before.
Yeah. What happened? You just had a runner?
No, that day, I don't know why. I guess I just woke up. I woke up in a great mood, and I was running with my weighted vest.
Yeah.
And there was a guy training, his little small Jimmer Shepherd. Not small. I would say he's probably 70 pounds. And I had my headphones on. And I was listening to music, which I don't do anymore. But, I heard someone screaming, and I turn around, and I took my headphones off, and I see this dog coming after me. So, thankfully, my body just kind of took over. I took my weighted vest off, put it in between the dog, and he's biting my vest, and we're wrestling for my vest. And I kind of let him have it, you know? And then, I'm not sure if I can say this, but I started kicking the dog. Like, I thought I was going to have to fight for my life with that dog. That dog was aggressive.
Dang. What did the owner say?
Nothing. He got mad at me for kicking his dog. And I'm like, your dog attacked me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate people like that, bro. Like, come on. Like, I obviously, like, no one here is pro for, like, animal abuse. But if it's, like, your life or their life, like, you're going to pick your life.
Yeah.
Or you should, like, for you or anybody else.
And especially at that.
I mean, what else were you supposed to do? Like, tell the dog to stop? No, he's about to attack you.
Yeah, and especially if I was, you know,
let's but that's just, like that's just like negligence on the owner's part. So
yeah, so
you ever run that way anymore?
I still do it.
Yeah,
I
still do. Have you seen the dogs?
I haven't seen it since then. I've tried taking my dogs with me, but it's just too much work.
Yeah. So you recently got married.
I did.
Tell me about how did that come to be?
What, getting married or?
Yeah, like how did you go from like, I don't know, like how long did you know your wife before y'all got married?
I think a year and a half, almost two. We were engaged for a year, but we pretty much started dating the first day we met. Like, we mm-hmm. just instantly
clicked. I know what that's like, yeah.
Yeah, we instantly clicked, and it might sound cliche, but when I saw her, I was like, oh, yeah, that's the one.
No way.
I kid you not. I'm not sure, and I tell her this all the time. Yeah. I'm not sure if it was the sun that day or whatever, but when she turned around when I first met her.
Was it like the glares, like the sun?
Yeah, the sun radiating. Was hitting on like hitting on her face perfect. And I was like, oh,
they're like, I'm dreaming right now.
Yeah, that's the exact experience I had, and I'm like, okay, that's the one right here.
Yep. Dang, so like you just know that's the one, like you didn't even second guess it.
I didn't second guess it. We had the best first date, and I knew right then and there.
Yeah. How's your relationship with like her parents and her parents with your, I mean her with your parents?
Oh, they're great. Super awesome parents. They did a great job raising her. And I would hang out with the dad all the time. We'd go and watch soccer games. We'd go to football games together. I would just go over there and hang out with them by myself if I have to. They're awesome.
Has anyone like brought up the fact that like y'all only knew each other for a year and a half before y'all got married?
No, and I guess it's because we clicked so well.
That I mean, people don't even really notice.
They thought we were married to begin with.
Right.
Because we moved in probably after like four months of dating.
Yeah. I mean, that's not that little bit of a time. Especially when you click with someone so well, like you're already seeing each other every single day or like whatever, like every other day.
Mm-hmm.
That it kind of feels natural or normal to do. And then like, you know, I guess if you're really into each other, you get married, but I don't know. How do you, I guess I'm always hesitant to like, cause I haven't gotten married yet. Like obviously, to decide like, is this the one? So I've kind of asked different people that are married that question. And like, you know, you're telling me, oh, you just know. I think we interviewed Gabby, like, how do you know, like, that you love someone? And then I think he just laughed or I think he laughed about, when I did the interview with BK and Flex, and we were just kind of like making fun, not making fun, but we were just like, how do we know we've ever been in love? And then I think he was just laughing. He's like, you know, once you go through that and experience that, like you understand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not there yet personally. So I'm just still trying to figure that out for myself. Do you have any tips on people that are dating someone and they aren't sure like what the next step should be?
Yes. So the biggest thing is, how do you feel when you're not with her? Like, when I'm with her, I feel like myself. And when I'm not with her, it's just like I'm missing a little piece of myself. Mm-hmm. Like, she just brings out the best in you. She, like, mainly is, and I don't want this to sound selfish, but how does she improve your life?
Right.
Because right now, you can do whatever you want. You have the option to see whoever you want when you're not dating somebody. And whenever you are in the dating field, you know, you're also interviewing them. The guy is a prize, the woman's a prize too. So how do you guys complement each other?
Right.
And I feel like that's one of the biggest things is, how do you guys mesh and what do you do for each other to bring out the best in each other? Does that make sense?
Yep. So you guys had a destination wedding, correct?
We did.
How did that go? Where did y'all do it?
We did it in Glacier National Park in Montana. And we came about deciding that mainly just, it's going to be a funny story, but we have a map of all 50 states,
mm-hmm.
and we've hit like 18 so far or something like that. And Montana is a big state. And we're like, we need a big picture for that state. So let's make that state our wedding picture.
Yeah, I wanted to go, but I wasn't able to. It looked really pretty. And then all the pictures that you posted on Instagram looked really nice. Y'all look great. It looked like a lot of fun.
Have you seen the...
Y'all were like jet skiing or...
Wakeboarding
the morning of.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, everyone was telling me that's not a good idea. And I'm like, hey.
What? Why?
I don't know. They're like, what if anything happens to you? I'm like...
We're trying to live the best life. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And the water was beautiful. You know, melted glacier water.
How many people were there?
I think it was 37.
How does that compare to, like, other weddings that are, like, bigger? At least, I don't know. I feel like in our family, you know, I think most weddings that I've ever been to, like, typically get, like, a few, maybe, like, 100, something like that. Do you think that's, like, do you have a preference either way? Or is that why y'all went with the destination? Because y'all wanted it to be, like, I don't know, more private, maybe?
Well, we first thought about eloping. We were going to go to Switzerland and just make it us two.
Right.
But... And most of the weddings we've been to are 200 people.
Right.
And we were like, we're not here to entertain everybody else. You know, right. It's kind of hard to corral 200 people and entertain them.
Right.
And try to... We want our...
Please everyone.
Exactly. We just want our best friends there and closest family. And, you know, it was hard to pick who and who you want to invite. But
right.
At the end of the day, it's...
I got an invite. I couldn't go.
Yeah. A lot of people couldn't, but... I think in total we had 37 people.
Let's take a water break real quick. I miss Flex.
I was hoping he was going to be on here.
He is out in California right now. The last thing, did you see his post?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's training for like some kind of stuntman. I mean, that's what he's always been doing, but kind of parkour, free running. Stuntman. And I don't know what he's up to. He's been kind of keeping it under wraps. I wonder like what he's about to do.
I miss seeing his little Instagram videos that he used to make.
He used to make Instagram and YouTube videos, and I think he hasn't posted on either in a while. Like he just posted today, I think it was, or maybe yesterday on his Instagram.
Yeah, I love seeing those videos. I show them to my wife all the time.
Oh, yeah. Just a reminder, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or if you want to join, if you want to be on the podcast, I had somebody in my Discord. They were like, hey, me and the other person, we want to have a discussion about like the stuff you talk about because we don't agree with you. And I was like, yes, that's what I want. I don't want this to be an echo chamber. I tend to hang out with very like-minded people. I don't know if like-minded is the right word, but I try to, I guess, diversify my thoughts and like who I hang out with as much as I can to kind of get like a diverse view of the world. So, but in a sense, like I can always relate to someone in one way or another, but I would find it interesting to bring someone on who like doesn't even like me. And I want to see like where that conversation would go. I don't know if that's productive, but it'd be interesting nonetheless.
Can I give you a little bit of advice though? I feel like a lot
of... Oh, yeah, because you're an avid listener.
Oh, right? Yeah, I listen to everything you put out.
Yeah, I don't even have to tell you. Actually, I think I was like, have you like listened to this? And you're like, oh, yeah, like you posted that like last Friday.
Yeah, I have the notifications.
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do with you and how you want to push,
right?
You know, your podcast,
what
you want to touch on. I feel like a lot of it has to do with you.
Right.
Instead of trying to...
pinpoint other people and
you know you can talk those conversations.
The thing is like I don't want to talk about myself. I'm not opposed to like I get what you're saying, but at the end of the day like I want to give other people voices. Mm-hmm. People that don't ever put their voice out or like people who are afraid to for whatever reason. So that's kind of like the anonymity behind the show and stuff like that.
All right, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So I just want to touch on the running thing.
Okay.
Because I know you like to work out and you're big into fitness. Is that something you've ever thought about doing?
So I used to, what do you mean? Like running daily?
Or just, I wouldn't say just running, but what I consider myself is a hybrid athlete.
Right.
I want to be faster than the lifters and stronger than the runners.
Right.
So is that something that you've ever thought about doing, or?
That is kind of my training philosophy. What I'm doing right now is trying to minimize the amount of work while gaining the maximum benefits. But like, there's a, you know, it gets to a, like, there's a, it deteriorates after a while. So like, if you're only training 1 week, I mean, 1 day a week, it might not be enough. And you might, I don't even know if you could maintain, you might even lose strength then. But anyway, I've gotten to the point where I'm lifting twice a week and I'm actually getting still stronger. And you say, like, for someone, so I've done like track and cheerleading and like all kinds of things, gymnastics, and I was a pole vaulter when I was in track, and kind of do like parkour, so a little bit of everything. But I used to train, like, you know, when I was in college and I was on the track team, like, train 5 days a week essentially. And then I had knee surgery, so I kind of had to stop doing that. And then, you know, I had to recover. It took me like 2 years to recover. And then after that, I was training like 4 times a week, kind of doing like, well, I don't really remember what I was doing. It was like a bro split essentially. And then I dropped down to 3 days. I'm not sure why. I think it was just time. And I actually decided, I was like, let me go even further. So right now I'm at 2 days and I only do an upper body and a lower body day. Basically, I'm trying to, again, minimize the amount of time, but like reap the benefits still. So I think I'm going to stick with it for a while, but I'm trying to address like other areas of my life, because I noticed that like when I was training a lot, like I let a lot of other things go by, like hygiene, maybe like school, financials. And so essentially I'm just trying to get everything else in order. Like you only need to do so much to be better than 80-90% of people at whatever it is that they're doing or whatever the topic is. But I'm just trying to, again, like focus on each aspect of my life and have things in balance. So it kind of answers your question. Like, do I ever find myself like, trying to be like a hybrid athlete? That's kind of funny, because have you ever heard of Steffi Cohen? Do you know who that is?
I haven't.
So she's, I'm not sure if she's the owner still or if she just works with them. She owns, or she's like involved with a hybrid performance method, which is essentially like powerlifting. Powerlifting, like CrossFit, and kind of like functional training. And all, I think she's a boxer now. So I don't know if that's affecting like their programs any, but that's kind of the same thing as like, so I don't know if that's a good example. Like Larry Wheels, do you know who that is?
I know who that is.
So Larry Wheels is like a bodybuilder, but he's also really strong. So I think he surprises like a lot of people. That's kind of what I prefer, is to like be a, I'm a kind of jack of all trades type, for the most part.
Have you ever heard of Nick Baer?
Nick Baer? I don't believe so.
He owns the supplement company called BPI.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend you follow him. He's a hybrid athlete. He does bodybuilding and Ironmans. Do you know what an Ironman race is?
Yep.
So
I've never done one, actually.
That's next on my list.
Haven't you done that?
I did a half marathon with probably 2 weeks of training.
Yeah.
And
how long do you think people normally, like a few months?
I don't know. I've heard it can take anywhere from 7 weeks to 5 months. Yeah. But I
like did, your average Joe, maybe.
Yeah. But I feel like a lot of it is mental. A lot of it, I did it with two weeks of training. And for those who know running, I think I averaged a 8-something pace, which is pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
But my heart rate was so high the whole race.
Why? Just adrenaline or?
No, so when you're running, a lot of it has to deal with, I don't know how technical you want to get into it, but you know, you have your zone 1, zone 2, zone 3, zone 4 heart rates.
Right.
And for me, since my heart's not conditioned to run at that pace.
Oh, is that faster than you normally run?
Yeah, this is, I'm talking 2 minutes faster a mile. So I was running anywhere from 7 to 8 minute miles
yeah.
for 13 miles. And I have a race in November. I'm doing a Spartan race. I'm hopefully doing another half marathon sometime in February. And then I'm doing a 30-mile race in July of next year.
Are you asking me because you're trying to get me to do something like that?
No, just because so my wife is kind of who's pushed me to try new things. Because I used to do the bro split.
Right.
So I was just big into just lifting weights and a little bit of powerlifting.
Right.
And then she's kind of the one that pushed me to do all other, you know, functional training. She's actually an instructor for a HIIT class.
Yeah.
And she does CrossFit. She does a lot of yoga. And she's like, you should try this.
Yeah.
And mainly it's because she pushed me and it helped out with my conditioning. My strength actually went up. My squat's the highest it's ever been. My bench press has kind of been plateaued. But I don't deadlift anymore, so. But it actually helped me out tremendously. It helped me point out my flaws, you know, weak hamstrings.
I never asked, but how did y'all meet?
I slid in the DMs.
Just like that?
I slid in the DMs.
I mean, what, did you just see her, like, randomly, like, on Instagram or something?
No, so we had mutual friends, and we went to the same college.
Yeah.
But never really, like, made a move, and then Instagram just kind of was the wingman.
Yep.
And it's a little bit, you know, we were two states apart, and it was about a 6-hour drive, and she just happened to be home visiting her parents, who live about 40 minutes from me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I slid in her DM, she was actually in the plane to come back to her hometown.
Right.
And I asked her if she wanted to grab some food and drinks, and she said, yeah, but the following weekend, she was going back to, you know, she was in grad school. She mm-hmm. was going back to grad school, and I made a 6-hour drive next week to go see her.
You drove 6 hours. That was like the first time y'all met?
That was the second time. Our second date, she was like, hey, you should come see me. So I drove 6-7 hours to go see her following
that's,
weekend.
That's pretty wild, not going to lie.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, when I saw her.
Right, you're like there's no point in like even playing games anymore.
And she grilled me with so many questions. Like it was right after the pandemic happened and, you know, everything just started opening again. And she went straight to asking me all these questions. Like, so what are your religious views? What are your political views? Like she went straight into it.
Right.
And I like that. I'm like, oh, you're not playing games.
She's younger than you or older?
Older. She's 2 years older than me.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. I didn't know that. So that means she's got some experience on you.
Well, I feel like out of the two of us, I'm the older one.
Really?
Yeah, she's the...
I guess I haven't really talked to her much, so I don't know what she's like too much. She's usually with you, I mean, yeah, so like if I'm around you, it's usually just me and you talking, but I have to like come visit you so that I can meet her a little more and kind of get her perspective on some certain things. What are some things you would have told yourself 10 years ago? What advice would you give yourself?
Ooh, I actually have like a little notebook of all this stuff I would have told myself. A lot of it was mainly, I didn't take life too serious. And I don't mean that like in a bad way, but I mean, if it was with school or work, how you do one thing is how you do everything mm-hmm. is something that I've kind of lived by now. It doesn't matter if you're making your bed, if you are cleaning your car. I try to be consistently good instead of occasionally great. And right. I wish I could tell myself that. Back then, it's more of like, I'll do one thing great and then I'll be happy and ride that wave instead of consistently. You don't have to be consistently great, just be consistently good.
Right.
And I feel like that's the biggest piece of advice that I could have had back then.
That definitely applies to just about anything. But I mean, I first noticed that when I started weightlifting more regularly, when I went to college. Like before that, in high school, it was like one step forward, like two steps forward, one step back. But like after a while, it's like one step forward, one step back, one step forward, one step back. And you just lose a lot of time. Like you could have been at wherever you wanted to be like a long time ago. And I guess if you are ever trying to like reach a certain point, like it takes a lot longer to get there. But yeah, like just I'm still learning that a lot. Like just sometimes I'll leave things for like for too long. And then when I try to do them, it's like kind of 2 point and past the prime of like wanting to do it. I think I mentioned that with projects that you just leave them for so long. You're like, you don't even like, it's not even an interest of yours anymore to like finish whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm.
Touching on the fitness thing. I don't think I've told you this, but do you know the reason why I got into fitness?
No.
It's because of you.
No, it's not.
It is. I remember specifically the day I came to your house. I think it was like some type of gaming console. I was getting something or a game. And we were sitting in that house over there, mm-hmm. in your room, and you were watching some, I think it was the Hodge Twins.
Oh, Hodge Twins.
This was way back in the day, and you're like,
I'm inside.
You kept telling me, yo, you need a lift. You need a lift. And I remember you telling me.
That's so random.
You just kept
telling me. Wait, so like before that you weren't in, but we like went to that training camp, remember?
Yeah. But I didn't take lifting that like.
I technically consider that camp the
foundation or
like the beginning of my journey. I can't remember if we were 13 or 12, like it was that range. And then I basically didn't really start lifting for like another year or two, but like that was like the seed that was planted. Like they killed us in that camp. Did. I'm surprised that's legal, to be honest. That's child abuse. But it taught us a lot of good lessons, I think. Some of the things I still think about, like, you know, the people that were there and whatnot. I'm like, I don't know. It just instilled, like, some good lessons early on. I don't think about it too much, but it definitely, like, was a good start. So, like, one of the things that I specifically remember is that, like, I was just being, like, a smart aleck to, like, one of them. And, you know, they punished me. And then It was so bad. Like I wanted to throw up. It was bad. But like, you know, that's the only way you learn is through going through stuff like that. Or that's the only way I learn is by being like hard headed and mm-hmm. facing things head on. But I don't know. That definitely taught me to like, you know, just have respect for your trainers and whatnot. So
it's definitely a humbling experience.
I think a lot of my trainers now really appreciate like how coachable I am. And I think that came from that camp is like they taught me how to be coachable.
I'm not sure if you were there that day, but I got humbled by the instructor. They also never taught us a little bit of like martial arts.
Yeah, like I think it was like kickboxing or something like that.
Yeah,
I think it was just fighting in general. It was just
yeah,
like,
I got
they're teaching us how to fight.
I got submitted by the instructor, and it's because he was trying to teach us how sometimes you got to tap and
right,
and it was kind of like almost letting go of your ego. And I was like, I'm not going to tap. And he's like, yes, you will. Watch this.
Oh, man.
And he got me in a guillotine and just started squeezing. I didn't tap until I passed out. But my neck was sore for 2 days.
I think
I
maybe remember that. I don't quite remember exactly. But maybe I wasn't there that day.
I think the instructor was like 18 at the time. And I was like 12 or 13. So I was getting beat up.
Yeah. I was doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for a little bit there. I don't know if you knew that or remember. Do you remember that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was doing it for like a few months and they had me like in an Americana. It's kind of like where you're on your side, on your back, and they have their arm like this and they like bring it up. Basically, it like tears your arm out of your socket.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't tap and I got hurt that day. I hurt my shoulder and I was like, man, like I don't want to do this if I'm going to keep getting hurt. So, but like, I recovered, but it took a lot longer than I really thought it was going to take. It took like maybe a month or more, and I ended up not going back, but definitely a useful skill is not letting your ego get in the way and tapping when you have to. Tapping is like sparring and everything. That's like a training tool. So, I mean, you shouldn't put yourself in like, you shouldn't go past your limits. You should know where that is. But yeah.
Speaking of shoulder injuries. So, I'm not sure if you knew this, but I have a bad shoulder. Yeah. So it's been bad for about 8 years. And I have been to 3 physical therapists.
I thought that was your brother.
My brother has the same issue, but this is his left. He has surgery.
Yeah.
Mine's my right. And
I know. You always do that. Dude, that does not sound good.
It pops in and out, and I've been to so many.
Does that relieve you when you do that?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but shoulder injuries or
wait,
something.
Wait, so what do they say? Like,
it's called like multi-directional instability. Where I don't have, like, the shoulder is inside of a socket, and right. I don't have that cartilage there anymore. So it's, like, grind it down so my shoulder can kind of free flow.
How did it get like that?
I think baseball.
But how come I don't have that? Well, I don't have the greatest shoulders either, now that I think about it. And, yeah, we both played baseball. I played till I was, like, 15.
Yeah, I played all 14, the way to 15, my
something like that.
Senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I...
And your brother played baseball too. And
yeah.
His shoulder's pretty bad.
Well, I think it's not thinking about it. So me and my brother used to fight a lot when we were kids. And my mom would hate it. And as a punishment, she would make us get on our knees, face the wall, and hold, you know, 5-10 pound weights over our head.
Yeah.
Until we stopped fighting. And I'm not sure if that has anything to do with it.
It's possible.
Yeah. Little kids.
Have you ever told your doctors this?
No, I will never tell my doctors that.
Yeah, my mom made me hold 5-pound dumbbells up for like 30 minutes till we had to quit, basically. Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, shoulder injuries are something that can apparently come back pretty easy. One time I was taking off my my sweater and my shoulder got dislocated from that. So that's something you got to be super careful about.
So what are some things you're working on right now? Like maybe short-term goals. I know we said 5 years, but like, what do you want to do like within the next year? Like any big travel plans? Y'all went to Greece for your honeymoon, right?
Yes. So traveling right now, we did as much traveling as we could this year. Greece was by far the biggest trip we went on.
What's the nicest place you've been to?
Probably Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to Mykonos and Santorini and Rhodes. What else did we go? We went to Bodrum
mm-hmm.
while we were there, and probably the nicest oceans, nicest.
I mean, it looks beautiful every time I see people post pictures of Greece.
Yeah. And probably, honestly, the Florida Keys.
Mm-hmm.
Besides those two.
Yeah, I feel like you go once a year, like, to the Keys.
Yeah, I was going once a year for the past 5 or 6 years, but didn't go this year.
Yeah.
But talking about Greece, a lot of it, though, is just little small areas. I was expecting, for example, Santorini to be the whole island like that, but it's just a little touristy area. And once you get out of that, you don't see anything but farms and super poor rundown houses.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you what to expect.
Oh yeah, I thought Greece was like the pictures that you post, like
it's little spots. Little spots. It's not the whole thing.
Yeah.
And to get up there, you have to either take a little cart that takes you to the top, but it's a 2-hour wait to get to the top, or you can walk, like pretty much hike up the mountain.
So like those areas that like the touristy areas, is it like expensive to live there? Would it be?
Yes. So
whenever people talk about like, why don't you just, you know, move to Greece, it's like, well, the nice places are expensive, and then, like, who wants to live
exactly
at the other places?
To give you an example of how expensive it is, when we were at the beach, just to sit down in a chair at the beach, you can't sit on the sand. You have to sit at the bench.
Yeah.
It's $50 or 50 euros.
Yeah.
Whatever that translates to.
Like, what, an hour? Or just the whole day?
I think the whole day, but $50 per person.
Right.
That, you know, $100 to just sit at the beach.
Yeah. You're probably only going to be there like 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, maybe, so something like that. That's expensive.
What else? What about like your job? Are you comfortable at your job right now? Or are you already thinking about leaving?
I'm already thinking about leaving. We had layoffs last week where we lost 200 employees, $14 million worth of salaries. And I get it. I'm learning a lot about the business side of the industry.
Have you like had friends that were laid off?
Yes, I had a lot of them laid off.
I've never had friends that were laid off. What is that like? Like knowing people, like, do you feel bad that you're still there?
A little bit, but it's more of like, I feel bad for them. Like,
right.
I put myself in their shoes and imagine going home, telling your wife, hey, I got laid off. Like,
right.
You probably think you don't work hard enough or I don't know. I can't. That's honestly one of my biggest fears is getting fired.
Yeah. You haven't been fired yet?
Never been fired. Never. And Me either. I think it's because of our culture and how we're like conditioned to work hard.
I mean, we'll do whatever it takes to like keep going, I guess. Yeah.
Definitely my biggest fear though.
So like, what are you looking at maybe?
It's kind of up in the air right now. I am thinking about becoming a sales engineer just because I'm learning the engineering world.
What is sales engineering? Or is that just...
No, it's pretty much like going to, let's say, a company that is... They manufacture bottles.
Right.
And they are trying to develop a faster way to make bottles. And you're like, okay, my company has X, Y, and Z machine that we can use to improve your rate by X amount of percent.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the middleman from selling engineering process or machines to the actual factory.
Okay.
And I think that's a little bit better because I've noticed how it's so much easier to become rich
mm-hmm.
by selling a service or a product instead of selling your time for money. Right. So that's definitely the route I want to go. Or if not, I want to go into some type of automation. I'm not sure if, you know, maybe BMW or, you know, the private sector of the government, like Lockheed Martin or some type of aircrafts. Something that, you know, makes me want to wake up in the morning, go do.
Right. Yeah. I've kind of like, I'm not so like disconnected from like my purpose at my work, but it definitely feels like a job. It doesn't feel like a career. I don't mm-hmm. know if that's like kind of something you're hitting on right now.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
I hate the 9-to-5 life right now.
Right.
I hate going in and, you know, sitting down in front of a computer, packing up, going home to repeat it again tomorrow.
So how are you going to break that cycle?
Finding something I'm more passionate about or something that kind of I get interested about, something that makes me want to get up to do, something that has that spark, that lights that spark in my mind again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like some jobs... Not by choice, but I feel like they're kind of made to suck the soul out of you.
Yeah. Especially like manufacturing and kind of like that office lifestyle.
They squeeze you to make as much money as they can out of you. And
it's capitalism, right?
Mm-hmm. And there's some of the stuff you don't think about until you get a little bit older and you start like noticing it and you actually... Notice how sometimes your parents told you this a long time ago and
right.
you don't realize it.
Okay, so we had to take a short little break, but we were talking about capitalism and how seemingly, you were saying how like the things that our parents tell you then you don't understand until a little bit later. What were you saying?
Yeah, I was going to say, or arguments that you hear quote unquote grown-ups talking about when you're a kid.
Right.
How now I start like not sounding like them, but I can relate to what they're saying, like stuff like about capitalism or the government or taxes, you know, like
right.
I'm at that point of life right now.
Does that feel uncomfortable or?
No, I was just, I'm like, oh, I get why, you know, sometimes that's all they would talk about, I feel like.
Right.
And I don't know. I feel like I'm becoming an adult now and I hate it. Responsibilities.
I'm sorry, but we can't go back, only forward. So let's try to make the best of it. I want to go back to the thing about your wife asking you like all these questions. Where do y'all both stand like religiously? Do y'all come from different backgrounds?
We don't. We're both Christians, non-denomination. That's another thing that made me, you know, really just like her even more. Is she's a diehard Christian. She lives by the word. She pushes me to become more I wouldn't say a better Christian, but just a better person.
Before her, like, were the girls you dated not Christians or like not practicing, maybe?
They were, I wouldn't even call them Sunday Christians.
Right.
But they just like to say they were because it sounds good.
Yeah.
But they never did anything with their actions to show it. Like when I see my wife now, she is a living embodiment of what Christianity is. She forgives and is the most, she doesn't get mad.
Yeah.
She doesn't get angry. She is just a very loving person.
Yeah, I was going to say there's like the side where like people were like, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian like every Sunday, but you should still act out what the Bible teaches you. And if you're not doing that, well, then why are you even claiming that you're a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I personally find going to church like every Sunday, it just keeps you in tune. Like it reminds you of all these things that you forget. Because as much as you want to try to read the Bible on your own, you know, it's possible, but sometimes you life gets in the way. And if you make going to church part of your routine, which it's part of my routine, I religiously go to church every Sunday, and my friends are like, you know, you don't have to go. And like if, you know, it's kind of a joke, but one of my friends was like, you know, I don't know if you go to heaven for being like consistent about going to church, but if people do get into heaven for that, you're definitely going because like you never miss no matter where you're at. And yeah, I always pretty much try to plan my vacations. Like I'll try to do something about coming back if it's to where I live to go to church, or if not, like I'll try to find a church where I'm at. The other day I went to Wilmington and there was a church there for my denomination, which I like going to. So I try to venture out and go to different churches from my denomination. And I went there and I had a good time, like a, you know, good message. And I got to meet like the preacher from there. And now when I go to events in the Southeast, I'll see him and his wife, and it's just, you just grow your community. So that's, I don't know, I really enjoy going to church every Sunday. Do y'all go?
We try to. If we can't make it in person, we'll watch it online.
Yeah.
But we try our best to go if we can. And we just, our biggest thing was finding a church. Especially me, I'm a little bit picky about the church.
Yeah.
We were going to a mega church for a while, for like a year or so. And everybody was great, but something inside of me just, I was not happy. I feel like every message was about bring somebody and give us money.
Right.
And it got to the point where, I don't want to sound rude, but I feel like almost like my eyes were awakened and I could see past the front, because a lot of churches, you know, are about just money.
Yeah, some are.
Especially the big mega churches. I'm like, okay, I feel like a pastor shouldn't have a private plane when there's people in need. So that made me a little like skeptical, and I'm like, okay, I don't mind giving money to the church, but I like to see it being used to, you know, grow the community, not to always build new churches. And, you know, churches are tax free. You can make a lot of money through a church. And, you know, there was some scandals going on before about the pastor using money for stuff like that. So this new church that we went to, longer message, but they hit every spot in my heart that, that I felt like needed to be hit. And they read directly from the Bible instead of just one scripture and then a story.
Right.
But speaking about religion, one thing that I feel like is, it's not a requirement, but it's nice, is to be able to, when me and my wife talk about certain topics, we are okay with seeing it from the other side. We are open-minded and we can question stuff without getting offended. So we have some friends that are different religions, and I don't mind listening to it. I'm like, oh yeah, tell me what you see. Tell me what, and I feel like that's something that we both are okay with. You know, we're not somebody that feels like it's blasphemy to say, like, talk about their religion. We're okay with listening to it.
that's just common courtesy, like kindness, understanding. Current day, there's like a war going on in Israel and like Palestine. And like, have you seen the videos from that?
I've seen some, but that's not something that like, I feel like is...
I mean, it's out of our control. And
yeah.
Like, you know. But I see the videos and I'm just like, you know, it's pretty much hell on earth for them over there.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, they're being bombarded like constantly. Like I said, you see some of the videos, you're like, that literally looks like hell. Like, just fire everywhere and, you know, people screaming and it's terrible. But, I mean, people always say like, you know... I mean, not that it's not right, not that it's not true, but like religion is like one of the reasons that like that we're always at war and whatnot for like for however humans have been alive. But I don't know. Some like I saw this thing the other day. It was like with religions kind of teaching about like peace and whatnot. Why is there no peace in like this world? You know, pretty much like I don't know what the exact number is, but like Maybe this is wrong, but like, isn't the majority of the world like religious? That might, I don't know what it is. I'm now. Not sure.
A lot of it, would you say, it's not about the religion, it's about wanting to be right? I feel like it's more right. of a human nature of like, you're wrong, I'm right. And that's.
Yeah. And there's always back and forth. Like, what, I guess more sort of like claiming land and whatnot. Like,
yeah.
It's not really my area to talk on, but like, you know, after World War II and then like the Jews needed somewhere to go. So like, that's a whole topic that I don't feel comfortable speaking on just because like, I don't know the details, but
I'm not an expert at that either.
But, there's been back and forth on like who owns what and, you know, mm-hmm. illegitimate ownership of land and of even of governments. Like, I don't know. It's a mess, but, I think we will wrap up this podcast. We're coming close to an hour now. So I appreciate you for coming through.
Yes, sir.
This has been X and
Enzo.
Enzo, we miss you, Flex. Please come back. We'll catch y'all in the next one. Peace. Peace. You're supposed to say peace.
Oh. Peace.
Or whatever you want.
Peace.
Bye, guys.